So everybody's blessed today. Everybody got here. Everybody looking good and everything. Got their good faces on. Go Cardinals. That's right. I didn't know if I needed to stand over there because I'm kind of short, you know. But I think I'm all right there, right? You guys can see me. The message today is get ready. So tell your neighbor, get ready. See, you guys didn't even mean that. I was like, get ready. You guys didn't even mean that. Like, tell them, get ready. We're going to go to Genesis 41. Genesis chapter 41, verse 1. So let us pray this real quick. Dear God, we just want to thank you for everything that you're doing today, Lord God. And just let your word go forth, Lord God. There'll be some people listening online, Lord God. May you bless them even more. Bless the people that didn't quite make it here, Lord God. Bless the people that didn't find the place, Lord God. That next time they will find it, Lord God. And so we just pray for everybody right now to receive their blessing, Lord God. We want to be ready for what you have for us today, Lord God, and what we need to receive, Lord God. So just open up our hearts, our minds, our souls, our bodies, and just our whole mentality. Lord God, we came in here to receive from you, Lord God. So let us forget the worries that are in the world right now and receive exactly from you. Open mind to you and your word. In your precious name, everybody says amen. So get ready. You got to tell your neighbor and say, you know, get ready. He's about to preach something. He's about to tell you something. You need to get ready for this blessing. I believe God is going to bless today. Genesis 41, chapter 1 through 40. When 2 full years had passed, Pharaoh had a dream. He was standing by the Nile when out of the river there came up 7 cows, sleek and fat, and they grazed among the reeds. After them, 7 other cows, ugly and gaunt, came out of the Nile and stood beside those on the riverbank. And the cows that were ugly and gaunt ate up the 7 sleek, fat cows. The Pharaoh woke up. Some of you guys are probably thinking, like, man, that's fat cows, mother-in-laws and all that, right? I'm just kidding. My mother-in-law is beautiful, man. Beautiful. She's probably going to listen sometime, so got to watch myself. But let's go on. So Pharaoh's having a dream about these skinny cows and these fat cows. So check this out. He fell asleep again and had a second dream. 7 heads of grain, healthy and good, were growing on a single stalk. After them, 7 other heads of grain sprouted, thin and scorched by the east wind. The thin heads of grain swallowed up the 7 healthy, full heads. Then Pharaoh woke up. It had been a dream. In the morning, his mind was troubled. So he went out for the magicians and the wise men of Egypt. Pharaoh told them his dreams, but no one could interpret them for him. The chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, "Totally, I am reminded of my shortcomings. Pharaoh was once angry with his servants, and he imprisoned me and a chief baker in the house of the captain of the guard. Each of us had a dream, and the same night, each dream had a meaning of its own. Now a young Hebrew was there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard. We told him our dreams and he interpreted them for us, giving each man the interpretation of his dreams. And things turned out exactly as he interpreted them to us. I was restored to my position and the other man was impaled." So here's Pharaoh. He has a dream. We're going to stop real quick. Here's Pharaoh. And the Pharaoh, he's the king. He's the king of this palace, Egyptians. He's the main man, okay? Think about it this way. In today's modern day, it would be like the president. So he has a dream, and he goes to his wise man. He goes to magicians and all these people that he has around him, and he tells them his dreams. And none of them could interpret his dreams. They didn't know what it was. And so here's the cupbearer. And he's like, I'm reminded at one time I was imprisoned, and this guy in prison, he told me what my dream meant. And that's how, when it started, when 2 full years had passed, that's what it was talking about. 2 full years had passed after he was imprisoned, after Joseph had told him his dream. So it's kind of messed up because 2 years later, that now he's remembering Joseph, and Joseph was in prison with him. And so that is what it's saying. So let's read on from there. So Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was quickly brought from the dungeon. When he had shaved and changed his clothes, he came before Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I had a dream, and no one can interpret it, but I heard it said of you that when you heard a dream, you can interpret it." "I cannot do it," Joseph replied to Pharaoh, "but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires." Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "In my dream, I was standing on the bank of the Nile, when out of the river there came up 7 cows, fat and sleek, and they grazed among the reeds. After them, 7 other cows came up, scrawny and very ugly and lean. I had never seen such ugly cows in all the land of Egypt. The lean, ugly cows ate up the 7 fat cows that came up first. But even after they ate them, no one could tell that they had done so. They looked just as ugly as before. Then I woke up. In my dream, I saw 7 heads of grain, full and good, growing on the single stalk." Let me just stop real quick. So he's having this dream about these fat cows. There's 7 fat cows. They come up, and then they're eating. And then these other 7 skinny, scrawny, ugly-looking cows come up also. And so the scrawny-looking cows eat up the fat ones in his dream. And instead of them being fat, they were still skinny. That's a tripped-out dream right there. I'm thinking maybe Pharaoh has some shrooms or something he's not telling us about, huh? But he's having this dream. God has given him this dream. And so he's telling it to Joseph. And then he goes on again. He has this other dream. Verse 22. "In my dream, I saw 7 heads of grain, full and good, growing on a single stalk. After them, 7 other heads sprouted, withered and thin and scorched by the east wind. The thin heads of grain swallowed up the 7 good heads. I told this to the magicians, but none of them could explain it to me." So it's the same dream. He said, "I got these grains, and they swallow up. They go over these other small grains. The smaller ones swallow up the good ones." And so it's the same dream. These grains that are looking not good to eat, they're kind of digesting these good grains. And grain is like your bread, all those things, you know. So you figure these big old grain palm trees type of thing. And so let's go. 25. "Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, 'The dreams of Pharaoh are one and the same. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. The 7 good cows are 7 years, and the 7 good heads of grain are 7 years. It is one and the same dream. The 7 lean, ugly cows that came up afterward are 7 years, and so are the 7 worthless heads of grain scorched by the east wind. They are 7 years of famine. It is just as I said to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. 7 years of great abundance and 7 years of famine will follow them. Then all the abundance in Egypt will be forgotten, and the famine will ravage in the land. The abundance in the land will not be remembered because the famine that follows it will be so severe. The reason the dream was given to Pharaoh in 2 forms is that the matter has been firmly decided by God, and God will do it soon. And now let Pharaoh look for a discerning and wise man and put him in charge for the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh appoint commissioners over the land and take a fifth of the harvest of Egypt during the 7 years of abundance. They should collect all the food of these good years that are coming and store up in the grain under the authority of Pharaoh to be kept in the cities for food. This food shall be held in reserve for the country to be used during the 7 years of famine that will come upon Egypt, so that the country may not be ruined by the famine." The plan seemed good to Pharaoh and to all his officials. So Pharaoh asked them, "Can we find anyone like this man, one in whom the Spirit of God?" Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has made all his known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne I will be greater than you. So Joseph is telling Pharaoh his dream, and what is going about to happen. God has given Pharaoh a dream of what is yet to come, and he's telling him to get ready, because there's going to be 7 years of abundance of food in the land, that there's going to grow a bunch of food, all the food you can eat in 7 years. But then after that, 7 more years, there's going to be none. Nothing will grow. There's going to be a famine. People are going to be starving. People are going to be wanting it. And so God was telling the Pharaoh to get ready. But see, he used Joseph. And now it's amazing, because Joseph was just now in prison, right? He was just now locked up in a dungeon, forgotten about. Nobody was visiting, no family members, no nothing. He was locked up. And in an instant, God brought him up. Not only did he bring him up to reveal the dream of Pharaoh, but he made him charge of everything. In the Bible, it says that the Pharaoh put him in charge. He put a ring on his finger. He put some robes on him, some good linen. He put a gold chain. That's probably how the rappers got started, right? That's the first rapper right there. And then he put him on a chariot with some 24s, and he rode him around saying, "This is the man right here. You guys will listen to him." Okay, maybe he didn't have 24s, okay, but he had a lot of horsepower. And so in an instant, his life changed. But let me tell you something about Joseph, okay? Because Joseph started up as a young man. He was the youngest of his brothers. He had a lot of brothers. He was the youngest one. Now, as a young kid, God began to reveal some dreams to Joseph. So Joseph already knew as a young kid that he was going to do something great. Now, the problem is that it didn't happen just so fast like that. He had to go through a process, through some steps. And what ended up happening is that Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers, because his brothers hated him. And then he was imprisoned, and all these things kept happening to him. Let me tell you something. See, God is not, put it this way, God is not preparing the blessing for you. Understand that. God is preparing you for the blessing. See, the blessing is already there, but you got to be in the process. You got to be ready to receive the blessing. Let me put it to you in another way. This building was already here, but I had to go through the process. My blessing was already here, but I had to go through the steps to be able to receive it. So God is not worried about his blessings. His blessings are there. He wants you to be able to receive the blessings. And for little blessings, you need little preparation. You need a little small process. But for a big blessing, you need big preparations. You need a big process, right? Now, for 13 years, I've been going through the process. God called me in 2000, and he said, "You will be a pastor someday." In my dreams, he was giving me that. In my dreams, I was telling him, "No, God, I don't want it." And he kept giving me those dreams. I was like, "God, it's a lot of work, man." And so I had to get ready. For 13 years, I didn't tell too many people, okay? But I was getting ready. I had to go through some process. I had to go through some trials and tribulations. I had to go through so much mess. Now, I've been in jail. I've been, I've been divorced. I've been going through a bunch of mess. But it got me ready to have the heart for the people. And so it's a process. Tell your neighbor, get ready. See, just like in the Marines or the Army or Navy and stuff like that, you got to go through the process, through boot camp and all that stuff to get there, right? Right? And so it's a process. Just like I drive an 8-wheeler, okay? Now, in a car, you can make a quick turn, right? In a small little car, you can make a quick turn. You can go here. You can go there. You can parallel park pretty easy. You know, well, some people can't. But in an 18-wheeler, you got to look way beyond ahead. You got to get like, okay, can I fit there? Okay, is there people around there? You got to look way ahead. And if you're turning, you got to make sure that nobody's going to walk up or no other car is going to cut you off. You're going to run them over. So it's a big process. When I'm driving, I got to look. Wherever I'm turning, I got to look both that way. I got to look that way. And I got to make a wide turn. So I got to make sure nobody's going to come through here so I don't run them over. So it's a process. And you must go through the process. You cannot skip the steps. Joseph couldn't skip the steps. Now, I know it's a greater thing to say, you know what, it's okay, you were born and you're the king. See, but if he was born, if Joseph was born and God gave him the whole kingdom like that, he wouldn't have appreciated it, right? He wouldn't have appreciated it. So for those big blessings, for you to be able to appreciate, you must go through the steps. You cannot skip the steps. Let me tell you something. Jesus, he went through the steps. Now, there's a great example of the biggest example of anybody that went through the steps and didn't skip any steps. Now, Jesus being God and the king of all, he could have easily said, nah, I'm not going to go through all that pain. I'm not going to go through all that suffering. I'm not going to carry that cross through miles and through up a hill. And I'm not going to go through all that. But even him, he went through the whole step, through the whole process. And out of that, we are blessed because of that. So even him, he didn't skip the steps. He went through the whole process. Let me put it to you like this. If I didn't have bad relationships in the past, I wouldn't know how to appreciate a good relationship, right? And so sometimes we must go through certain things to appreciate the good things. I was talking this morning about how I used to have a crappy Dodge Durango. Now, I thought it was the best thing ever because it had four-wheel drive. But the thing would break down every weekend. Okay, every weekend. It was one of those things where I put a lot of money into it. I fixed everything. I fixed the motor. I fixed this. I fixed that. I fixed that. And I fixed everything. And at the end, I was kind of getting mad at the mechanics because I'm thinking, like, what's going on, man? You know? It's like, God, you better hold me down. I don't. And so it was things after things that kept breaking down. And if we had to go somewhere, I'll let you in some details, okay? If I had to go somewhere, I always stayed on the right side of the lane, okay? Just in case it turned off, I could easily pull over. I was never on the left side, because on the left side, especially in big traffic, it's hard to get all the way to that side. People ain't going to let you over. So I always stood on the right side. And on every stop, I would look ahead to see, like, okay, if it breaks down here, I can pull into there. It happened. It was a process. And then God blessed me, okay? God blessed me with a good vehicle. And then for a while, I was still looking ahead. I'm like, ooh, am I going to make it? I'm like, what am I thinking? This is a good vehicle. It works fine. What am I saying? If I didn't have a crappy car, I wouldn't be able to appreciate what I got now. If I give my daughter a brand new Lamborghini, now she's going to ride it like crazy. Right? Because she hasn't had the blood, sweat, and tears to pay for that. So I'm not going to do that. I might get her a crappy car. Maybe I'll get her a bike. That way she'll appreciate it when she buys her own, right? Now, that was the same thing with God. God could have blessed Joseph right away, but no, he had to go through a process. So now that he is there, he appreciates the whole kingdom. Now, because he had suffered, because he has blood, sweat, and tears, felt lonely and abandoned in a dungeon, he knows how that feels. He knows the pain, the agony. I got left behind. He knows how it feels. So now that he's in charge, he has the compassion heart for the people. And so what happened is exactly how that happened, how the 7 years, they stored up a bunch of food. They stored it up. They stored it up. They stored it up. And after the 7 years, there came the famine. Now, the famine was not only in that place, but it was in the world. And in the Bible, it says that the whole world came because they knew this man, Pharaoh, Joseph, had food. And so they all came from everywhere. And he was able to bless everybody. Even brothers that sold them into slavery. That's compassion. Love your enemies, right? That's compassion. Amen? Even the ones that have done you wrong, later on when God blesses you, you need to get ready, because when God blesses you, you'll have that compassion to, even though they did you wrong, even though you don't like him, you have that compassion. God got you ready. So your blessings are there. God wants to bless his children. God wants to bless you. But all the pain you have gone through, all the trials and tribulations, all the stuff that you have gone through, it was getting you ready to receive your blessing. Amen. See, it is your sickness that makes your... It is your poverty that hungers your prosperity. I was raised poor. I came out of the projects with flying cockroaches following me going into my cereal. I had to fight them off. I've slept in the street. I didn't have a home at once. So now, when God blesses me and he has blessed me abundantly, I have the heart and the compassion to receive it. And not only do I have the heart and compassion to receive it, but I want to bless others. And I see what they're going through. You will never thank God for feeling good until you felt bad. That's kind of sad, but that's true. Right? When somebody yells out at that moment or something, if a plane's going to crash, what do they yell? They yell Jesus, right? They don't yell Muhammad or all these other churches and stuff, right? They yell Jesus. So it is something inside of us that knows who the true God is that's crying out to him. Joseph would have never achieved his destiny without his relationship with God. Get that. Understand that. Even when he was in the dungeon, even when he was in slavery, even when he went through all that mess and he was abandoned and alone, and so frustrated and mad, he called out to God. And he still had that relationship with God. Now, look at that, because when the Pharaoh called him, he said, I cannot interpret it, but God will give you the interpretation, right? So he was always putting God first. He said, God is the one that gives me the gift. So even though he was at the lowest place of his life, he still had that relationship with God. Now, I come to people that all the time that said, well, we have a relationship. Well, listen, there's a difference. There's a difference. See, because a true relationship will not abandon that relationship. Let me be blunt. Sometimes a lot of people don't call God until they need something. That's a booty call. Okay? That's what it is. God doesn't want a booty call. He wants a relationship. We need to talk to him every day, every morning when you wake up. He wants to see how you're doing. He wants to talk to you. That's a relationship. When I wake up in the morning, I see my wife. I tell her hi, all that, you know, a relationship. When I come home from work, I tell her hi, you know. Sometimes I got to listen, right? When I'm tired, I got to listen, right? And so sometimes we must listen to God too. That's a true relationship. Not only calling him when we need something, not only calling him when we want something, but a true relationship, no matter where in your life it is, you stick together. Through the lows and the highs, you know what each other, what they like and dislike. You know what they hate and what they love. And so you're going to try your best to appreciate them. Amen? So even through all that mess, Joseph had a relationship with God. Even through all that, he stuck by God. He called on God. He talked to God. See, through all my mess that I went through in life, to get to the moment and the point where I was ready, I talked to God. Through my lowest, through my divorce, through my highs, I always talk to God. Amen? That's a relationship. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. See, and when I was supposed to die, when I was in the hospital and all those things, I called out to God. And he saved me. And from there on, I said, I'm a live for you. I lived for the devil. I did all those things, and I was pretty good at them, you know, pretty good at doing bad. And it's a lot more easier to do bad than to do good. But God had to prepare. He still said, okay, now that you're following me, it doesn't mean that life gets really precious and easy. Yes, I'm going to bless you along the way. If you listen to me, I'm going to bless you along the way. Right? But he to prepare you. You must go through a process. You can't get a job without putting an application in. You must go through a process. And so what I'm saying today is, maybe all the things in your life that you were going through that were getting you ready for the moment this year that's about to come. Understand that. This year that's about to come. Now, I believe that. I believe God is going to bless this community. I believe God is going to bless some people. I believe God is raising some mighty disciples in Buckeye. And that's why our church is called Disciples Worship Center, because I don't want it to be just a church. I don't want it to be this religious thing. I want it to be a relationship, a true relationship with God. And a lot of churches have forgotten that. They have. Now, we might not be the most fanciest church, but if we have heart, that's what God loves. Now, he don't care about the building. His disciples were at this little apartment, this little shack in the upper room when he blessed them all together. And that's how they started. That's how his disciples started. But his disciples did the work of God because they had a relationship with God. His disciples were not too much of the church people. The church people didn't even like the disciples. The church people didn't even like Jesus because he was different. But yet in today, modern day, we get the same way as what we used to be in the churches. And that's not how God wants it. See, I'm not here to tell you what you can and can't do. I'm not here for that. I'm here to raise you up for your full potential in this life that God has for you. I want you to be ready to receive his blessings. Amen. So tell your neighbor, get ready. Yeah, I don't get ready. Slap him. Get ready. Wake them up. So we must get ready. I believe in this year coming up, it's going to be a big abundance. It's going to bless some people. And understand that when I say God will bless some people, he can only bless the people that have the heart to bless others. That's what he wants to do. Now, whether it's in money, in a job, or any other thing, but we must have the heart to give. God gave Jesus, the Son, to die for us. That was the greatest gift. The greatest gift. Amen? So I'm going to close up. I want you guys to stand up with me. We must get ready. We must have that mentality that to be able to receive what. Amen? But like I said, it takes a relationship. Because put it this way, if you don't study for a test, you will have to do it over again, right? Sometimes in this life, we do things and we don't learn from them. We don't learn from what we're doing. And we try to do it again and it fails again. And it's like you're taking the test over and over and over again. Now, if you begin to build a relationship with God, he has all the answers. Amen. He has all the answers for life. He has all your answers, all the questions you ever thought of, everything you could ever dreamed of, questioned, whatever. For your life, he has all the answers. And he doesn't want you this next year to be taking the test over and over and failing life over and over and over again. He wants to bless you. But you must get ready. You must get ready to receive his gifts. See, I fought it before we got this building. I wanted another building. And I was like, God, no, I don't want that one. I want that one. I wasn't ready. And God had to deal with me. Because I wanted to do I wanted to do it my way. God, I want this, I want this, I want. No, no, listen. There's a reason. I don't know all the reasons. But God was taking me through the process. And so I finally had to be able to say, okay, God, I let go and I receive you. I receive your word and I receive your gifts. I had to have that heart to receive. I had to get my heart ready. And so, you must do the same. You have to be able to receive God. You have to be able to get ready and receive his gifts and receive his blessings. See, he's a perfect gentleman. Understand that about God. He's a perfect gentleman. If you never pray to him and then you wonder why you never get blessed, well, you never talk to him. Talk to him. Just like my kids, I don't know what they want unless they come and talk to me. And then if they're not ready for it, then they must go through a process. Right? Because not all things I'm going to give them to them because they're not ready for those things. I will not give my 4-year-old a car because she doesn't know how to drive. She's not ready. So sometimes you must go through the process. But God wants to hear from you. He wants a relationship from you. Not a religion. Forget about religions. Religion will fail you every single time. This will fail you every single time. But a true relationship with God, and if you seek God first and put his word and begin to receive his word, begin to come and receive what he has for you, his messages and everything, wake up in the morning, and thank you for this air. See, I always thank him for my air that we're breathing in my prayers. And it's because one day I had such a severe of pneumonia that it spread all through my back and in my lungs. And I couldn't even breathe. And I was in the hospital and they said, the nurses looked over to one each other, and they had the monitors and everything. It was going off all crazy, and they looked over to each other, and they said, he's going to die. And so in my mind, I said, well, if that's true, I'm going to go out praising you. And with the little breath that I couldn't even breathe, I'm telling you, I was like, I felt like a fish out of water. I couldn't talk. I couldn't move because everything hurt. Just to breathe, it hurt. And so with all my force and all my might, I said, God, if I'm going to die, I'm going to go out praising you. I believe you can heal me, but if not, I'm going to go out praising you, go out the right way. And so I began to praise him. I said, God, I know you could do it. And in my mind, I began to praise him, and I began to open up my mouth, and I couldn't even breathe. But I was trying to praise him with my hardest. And the nurses were just looking at me like, what is he doing? He's going to die. That same day, I walked out of the hospital, and I was healed. A couple hours later, I was totally fine. I was able to breathe. And so you'll never fully appreciate breath until it's taken away from you. You'll never fully appreciate life until you're almost at the end. And it's sad. But if you have that heart, that readiness, and say, God, I thank you for this. I thank you for this. I thank you. You begin to appreciate things. Amen? So we must get ready. Let's get ready. Let's bow our eyes, heads closed. Try that one. Bow your eyes, heads closed. Let us pray. So nobody looking at anybody and just you and God, let me ask you a simple question. Are you ready to receive God? Are you ready to have a relationship, a true relationship with God? He's calling out to you. He's tugging at your heart. But he's a perfect gentleman. He does not come into your life until you want him to come in. But he's asking right now. He's knocking at your heart and saying, let me in your life. I have the answers. He died for our sins. He came into the world and died for our sins so that we wouldn't have to go to hell. But one day we can go to heaven with him and have a big palace. And there will be no more tears, no more sorrows, no more pain. But it's a gift. He gave this gift of salvation for you. He took the pain and the punishment for you. We deserved it because we're bad. We're sinners. I'm not a good person at all. I'm a bad person. But God is good, and through him, he has changed my life. And he has blessed me abundantly with a wife, kids, so much more. And so he's asking right now, I want to have a relationship with you. Will you let me in? If that's you, raise your hand right now. Will you let him in your heart? Amen, amen. Amen. Thank you, God. So let us pray. Dear God, we just want to thank you, Lord God. We want to thank you and receive your word today, Lord God. We want to leave this place changed and be ready to receive your blessings this coming year, Lord God. We want to leave this place with a bigger and better relationship with you, Lord God. We want to do everything that you have for us, Lord God. We want to be able to receive your blessings. And Lord God, forgive us of our sinful nature. Forgive us for when we do not listen to you, Lord God. When we tell you we do not have time for you. We're sorry, Lord God. We ask for forgiveness. I ask for your forgiveness, Lord God. When I ignore you. When I am sinful. When I am angry. When all those things, Lord God, I ask for your forgiveness right now in the name of Jesus. Yes, God. So, Lord God, bring forth your blessings upon your people, Lord God, and raise them up to be a mighty army of disciples for you, Lord God, that they may tell the world and everybody around them how good you are, how great you are, how wonderful you are, the blessings that you have done, and how you saved them from hell, how you saved us from a life leading. leading towards hell. So we thank you now, Lord God. So change our hearts, our minds, our everything. In Jesus' name, amen.